Good morning, sir. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, correct. I can hear you.
All right, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce the board members that will be hearing your case, and that is to my left, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is also the board chairman, and I am David Neal. I'm your panel chairman today. Also in the room, we have Mr. Westby from the Department of Corrections, and he also represents the parole office. Prior to serving, you signed and received notification form advising you of this board hearing. Do you remember that, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. On the form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, or are you going to represent yourself today, sir?
I'm guessing I'm representing myself. I did not get no attorney or anything like that.
Okay, I need to ask you and Mr. Westby a question now. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
I do.
All right, so your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And in phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. With phase one, what I'm going to do is read the allegations on the warrant, and after each allegation, I'm going to ask you to tell me whether it's true or false. Do you understand that, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Like, you've got four allegations on your warrant. First allegation is violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 7. As demonstrated by your use of marijuana, THC, on or about October 13, 2017, per the task lab report dated October 15, 2017. Is that true or false, sir?
True, sir.
Thank you. All right. Allegation number 2 is violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your use of marijuana, THC, on or about October 18th, 2017, per the task lab report dated October 21st, 2017. Is that true or false, sir?
The 18th, when I was at MRC, right?
Well, I don't know where you were at. It just says that you apparently had a UA drop on the 18th, and the report on the 21st showed that you were positive for marijuana.
Well, I didn't. I don't know why it came up that way, but like they were telling me, whatever's in black and white is gonna beat what I got to say. So obviously, I'm gonna agree with you and say yes, because there's no, I guess.
Okay, well, you can explain all of it in a little more detail in a few minutes, okay?
Right.
This is,
okay.
If my pens don't quit running out of ink. All right, allegation number 3 is a violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 7, as demonstrated by the use of marijuana, THC, on or about October 26, 2017, per the task lab report dated October 31st, 2017. Is that one true or false?
I think that one and the other one weren't, but we'll talk about it when we get there. I'm agree with you, obviously.
Okay. And then the fourth allegation is violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 4, as demonstrated by your failure to successfully complete substance abuse counseling on or about October 30th, 2017, as directed. Is that one true or false, sir?
That one's true. They discharged me from that program.
Okay. Based on admissions of Mr. Moreno, I move to find Mr. Moreno as delinquent as he violated terms and conditions of his supervision, and that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse in a criminal ways or company.
Second.
Okay, I'll be with you in just a moment, sir. All right. We're going to move into phase two of your hearing in a moment, sir, and we'll determine whether or not to revoke or to reinstate your community supervision. But first, Mr. Westby will give us some further information. Mr. Westby.
Good morning, Your Honor.
On August 14th, 2017, Mr. Moreno was released from DOC. He was arrested on October 30th, 2017 by DOC staff, no new charges. He was back in DOC custody on October 30th, 2017 with community supervision end date of March 8th, 2018, zero abscondes. His current conviction, 2015, armed robbery, 4 years. There are no prior convictions. This is his first term in DOC. CUIR score is a 2-3, mental health score 2, substance abuse score 1. There is no gang information noted, no prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary is minimal. Other arrest, 2006, damage to public property, Arizona, juvenile probation. 2006, possessed sell marijuana, Arizona, juvenile probation. 2008, domestic violence, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. All other charges were dismissed, were not filed. His community risk score is a G1B2.
Thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Moreno, I'm going to go over some other information that's in our packet here. So on August 14th of 2017, you were released and approved to the address of 7510 West Glen Rosa Avenue in Phoenix. Then on October 5th, 2017, you established your residence at MRC, located at 24601 North 29th Avenue in Phoenix. So, sir, were you still staying at the MRC when you were violated?
They actually discharged me from there. I was going through, that's where I was, my residence. Obviously, before I did, they asked me to turn myself in there. I turned myself in. I would always come see my PO. There was nothing, I asked him, hey, I need treatment. I feel like I need it. He said, okay, my supervisor said that you should go here. We're trying 90 days. We tried 90 days, and in that program, I don't know, I admitted that I popped some pills. Obviously, my THC levels went up. Now, the next time, I don't know why the levels went up, because I was going through some feelings. I mean, it changes your behavior, everything, and I don't know why my levels would be coming up. I mean, they have a gym. I'm drinking water constantly. I'm drinking protein. I never drink that protein shakes, muscle milk, all that stuff. I was like, it's got to be something. I don't know. I don't know why. I never wanted to lose that program. That program was, it really meant a lot to me. Even coming back here, I still use some of those tools that they showed me. And I was going to ask you guys if there's any way I could even go back to that program.
Okay. Well, you were at MRC. That's where you were staying, and they discharged you, and that's when you were violated,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so you didn't. The question, the point being, you weren't staying at some other house or some other place during this time. You were still there at MRC.
Yes, sir.
And just at this point in time, I'll tell you, the board has no control over what programs or where you would be assigned as residents when you're released. That's all up to the parole officer. So, if you wanted to go back to MRC and we find that we're going to have you released, if you're going to go back to MRC or wherever you want to go, you have to get with your CO3 and they have to put in a request and go through approval process. And it's up to them, not to us, okay? But it is commendable that you want to go back to that program. We hear lots of good stuff about MRC. Okay. Did you work at all while you were out, or you?
My father got me a job, but it was he was barely getting me started. I was working construction in the morning. That's what my mom's like, Mom, if I don't get a job within a week, I might as well just go to my PO, turn myself in, because I'm doing the same thing I could have been doing in there, sleeping on a paycheck. So she told my father got me a job. He said, you're working construction in the morning with me, and afternoon you're working remodeling. So I was working two jobs a day, but there was no paycheck. Check stuff to show, turned it into my PO.
We understand that, and we're not trying to get down into taxes or anything else like that. We're just trying to establish whether you're trying to be productive and stay employed to help. Yeah, because if you're working, you're not going to get, not as apt to get in trouble as if you're sitting around watching TV and you know,
living the day. So. My father says he got, I show him that I can work. He's got me his ranch house. You know, he's got a dually waiting for me. He just wants to see that I can be productive.
Yes, that is very commendable. Now, on your programming, it shows that on August 15th, you were rolled into task and you were under the color program and with the color of peach. And then you failed to submit a urine sample on the 22nd of August. Then on September 13th, you tested positive for amphetamine, hydrocodone. Were you taking prescription drugs at that time, sir?
No? I wasn't taking no prescription.
Okay.
It's just something.
Okay, so then on September 25th, you tested positive for methamphetamine, and then you tested positive for THC on September 13th, September 25th. October 5th, October 6th, October 11th, October 13th, October 17th, October 18th, and October 26th. And so on October 5th, you're referred to CAP for substance abuse programming. You complete the intake at CAP substance abuse. You attended six of those classes. And then that shows also on October 5th, you were assessed and accepted the ITH program at MRC. And then on October 30th, you were discharged from the ITH program. Did you complete that program when you were discharged, or did they discharge you for some other reason?
They discharged because of that, because of the UAs.
Okay.
I was telling them.
All right, so yeah, that's what I get there. I mean, ITH, you didn't complete the program, they discharge you because of your dirty ways.
Yes.
Okay. So apparently from this, I get the impression you have a drug problem, primarily marijuana, but you're a little methamphetamine here and there and some illegal prescription drugs.
Obviously. And I told this my parole officer supervisor I needed help. You know, he said, I'll give you. You can go to these classes. You got to turn yourself in tomorrow. I went. You know, he said 10 in the morning. I was there at 9 o'clock. You know, so it's like I'm with it. And in here, there's no treatment for me. I'm just like put away in storage. There's no. I'm not gonna better myself in here. Like. That program was really awesome. Like I was crying when they took that from me. That was something I feel like I needed in my life. That 90 days in that would have changed me, my behavior, my way of thinking, everything.
But that's important program. That's the kind of thing you need to do to get yourself clean and be able to continue clean. But you didn't.
Yes.
You went in the program. And all the dirty UAs and everything, you apparently weren't serious about getting through.
No,
because you can't. It's one of those things. You have to stay dry when you're on. It's like Alcoholics Anonymous. They want you dry when you come to a meeting. If you get put in a substance abuse halfway house for the VA, don't come home with alcohol on your breath, because that's the last time you'll come home to that address. But point being, it's up to you. And you had these opportunities, but you chose to use the marijuana, use the drugs, and that shows me that you don't really have a real good intent to clean things up.
Well, the first time, look, in MRC, I got 330 UAs, right? Three or two, I don't know. But that first one, I remember I took some pills that were there. I think that boosted my THC levels up. Anytime after that, I admitted to them, and I gave them the name of who. Well, I was like, okay, I admit, I'm gonna care about my sobriety. I'm gonna give you guys the person I got these pills from, when this is shaman.
But that's exactly what I'm saying. You go ahead and use the drug, use the marijuana, use whatever, and then you turn around when you get caught with it, It's, well, this person gave it to me, and, you know, but you can't defer the blame. Doesn't make any difference who gave it to you, who sold it to you, who supplied you. It, you made the choice, you made that choice to use it. So, that's what I mean. Until you make the choice, well, but, you know, until you make the choice, you're not going to be successful at it. And they gave you an opportunity, and you made the choice to not be successful. Okay, at this point in time, I'm going to see if Dr. Wright has any further questions for you. Dr. Wright?
Yeah, I guess I would just ask this, Ms. Douglas. What, you know, as you reflect on it, why did you use drugs at MRC? You know, it seemed to me that you, that's a good program, a great program, as you just stated. What behest you to use drugs there, sir?
Okay, look, let me tell you, the first time I popped it, it was some pills. I don't know what, they said it was Capipan, Gabby, something. I couldn't sleep that night. Well, I wouldn't sleep the first weeks right there because I was thinking about a girl I was with. Obviously, it was dumb, childish to think about that way. So I popped those pills, went to sleep. Okay, the next morning, the UA meet, the THC levels bump up. All right, I admit, tell who did it, where I got it from, whatever. Like you said, yeah, I'm guilty, but I was caring enough about my sobriety to admit. Now the next two times or the next time, I didn't understand what was going on with my UAs. I thought they were playing with me when the UAs went up. I was like, look, if I did anything, if I drank anything, smoked anything, I would admit to you guys. But I didn't, so I don't even have the guilty pleasure of, okay, I can take it in the chin, okay, these dirty UAs. And what they keep telling me is, look, we believe you, but whatever's in black and white is gonna beat you in court.
Now, let me ask you this, now, Mr. Aguilar. Those pills, you mentioned those pills three or four times. Why were you taking those pills, sir? Where did you get them from? And why would you be taking some pills that you don't even know what you're taking? Or what was that?
Right.
Was it for medical reasons? Or why were you taking them, sir?
It was stupidity in my part. Like, it was hard for me to sleep thinking about stuff. And this guy would come into my cell and say, hey, you know, I got these pills that help you sleep, whatever, da, da, da. Okay, so I tried them out. I only tried them out one time, though. Never tried them out after that. And it was like childish for me to do it. It was just like not thinking when I did it. But any time after that, I would not consume that. I was serious about my sobriety. That's why I was tripping when I heard that my THC levels kept going up. And I was going up with the counselors, the CO3s. I was like, look, I would admit to my peers too. They're not staff, they're not nobody. I would admit to them, and there's nothing I can tell them because I don't know how these levels went up. I was like, God, why would you want to take this program from me? I know I did not do nothing.
Nope. Okay, sir. So I understand. Well, I don't understand, but I do hear what you're saying, sir, and I certainly appreciate your honesty, sir. Thank you so very much. Thank you so very much, Mr. Neal.
Thank you, sir. I don't know, reviewing the UAs and the frequency of them, there was a couple of periods in there that if you hadn't been using a lot of marijuana for a long time, that you should have been clean that time. I mean, 8 days between UAs, you shouldn't have much trace left. But the problem is, if you've got THC showing in your analysis, you violated the terms and conditions of your release, whether or not you've actually violated state law by that, you know, by a small amount. A small amount's the same as a big amount as far as your terms and of release and conditions of the lease. Any amount is too much. So you've got three different kinds of pill, drugs, whatever, the methamphetamine, and then most of them are marijuana. Some of them are marijuana and meth at the same time, but that's back to the point I was making. You've made a lot of conscious decisions to not follow the rules, and that shows a lack of drive to me, of commitment on your part to actually straighten up the drugs and stuff like that. So there's no other questions for you. We'll come to the end of your hearing. Before we actually go into discussion and make a determination, I want to give you one last opportunity to give us any information that you think that you'd like for us to have, but we just ask that you don't repeat yourself. So is there anything else you'd like to tell the board before we go into discussion, sir?
All I want to say is I really would like that treatment. I want to be productive, and here I'm not going to do nothing with my life. I'm in a place where people are forgotten. This is it. It's just nothing to learn, nothing to, just that's all I have to say. I mean.
All right, thank you, sir. We're going to go into discussion to make a determination on your community supervision, sir. While we're doing that, we'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think we're talking to you, but we won't be, so we ask that you stay on the phone, but remain silent, and when we're finished, I'll get back to you and tell you what the decision is and what the final determination for your hearing is. Okay, sir?
All right, sir. Yes, sir.
The board is now in discussion. I see a young man that wants to change his life, but hasn't made the complete commitment based on the UAs and everything we have. It's a real shame. MRC is a good program. Looks like they were working with him, trying to help him straighten things out, but he kept making the wrong choices. I personally am not in favor of returning to community supervision. I think that the roughly 3 months he has left, he could put to good use, making a plan, determine where he's going to live, where he's going to work, what kind of substance abuse treatment he'll be trying to get, and see if he can get some like AA and NA, maybe even a substance abuse class between now and the end of his term with DOC. But I'm willing to listen to any discussion that Dr. Wright has.
Okay, well, basically I agree with you, Mr. Neal. I think that it's really left up to Mr. Aguilar to seriously, I mean, he talks a good game, but it's going to be left up to him. And I don't think that, prior to this, that he really took it that serious. And the one thing that I would say that he says that there's nothing there in the DOC, and I'm not there, therefore I shouldn't say this, but there are opportunities. We had just one person just a few months ago who's already taken vocational training. There are some opportunities, but it's left up to each individual, and of course they always have NA and AA there, and I just wish him the best, but I do agree with you, Mr. Neal.
Thank you, sir. And based on our discussion and the information we have, I move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Moreno Aguilar. That I found that he was delinquent, violated terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
All right. Sir, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. According to information we have, you'll be done with DOC on March 8th of 2018. You don't have anybody to answer to except yourself. In the meantime, see if you can get some AA, NA, those type of programs there within the prison. Those are usually very available. You might even have an opportunity to get into a substance abuse program and get yourself started on in the right direction. You have to make up that your mind that you're going to make the right decisions and not the wrong decisions. There's a lot of temptation while you're incarcerated, there's a lot of temptation when you get out. So it is entirely up to you. Nobody can do it for you. But we do wish you the best of luck. And like I say, you only have about 3 months left in there, and they do, unless you get in some further trouble, you won't have anybody to answer to but yourself. Okay?
All right, whatever.
All right,
you too.
This ends your hearing. We wish you luck.
All